Good morning, I'm Aaron Winiwski. I'm the pastor here. And as we were singing those songs, there's a line that stands out to me that if you haven't heard it explained before, it's a little bit weird. There's probably a number of lines like that. But in particular, here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I've come. Ebenezer is a word we don't use a whole lot. Just talk about that a little bit, and I think it's appropriate today. Ebenezer, the word, literally means stone of help. So here I raise my stone of help. In ancient times, when something amazing would happen, people would want to commemorate that amazing thing somehow. And one of the ways they would do that is by moving a rock that would not normally be something that would move naturally, so that when people saw this rock is out of place, what is it doing here? How did it get here? So for instance, in Scripture, and if you read the New Day Minute, our weekly email newsletter, you would have read reference that I made to this week. If you're not receiving that and you want to, you can mark your communication card. Just check a box that says, I'd like to receive the email newsletter. There was a point where God was leading the Israelites into the promised land, and they came up against the Jordan River. And they had to step into the river in order to see how God was going to help them across. And he piled up the water upriver so that they could cross on dry ground. And as they crossed, they picked up stones from the middle of the river, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel. So they walked out of there with 12 huge stones and put them on the other side of the river so that when their children and their children's children would see those stones and go, what's that about? They would tell the story of how God stopped the river and allowed them to go across on dry land, how God did a miracle. We have an Ebenezer at our church office, a huge stone. Now, we did not carry it there. Ben Seiler, one of the people who attends here, moves big rocks for a living. So he brought it, he moved it, and we put it there after the first year of the life of this church in order to commemorate that God has brought us this far. And today we're moving out of that office. And one of the questions somebody asked me was, what are we going to do with the Ebenezer? And I said, well, we're just going to leave it there for now. Because, like, whose house are we going to put it at? You know? We may, though, at some point go back to the buyers of the office and say, can we get that rock and put it somewhere after we see the miracle that God does as we take a step of faith in selling the one piece of property that we do own and not having another piece of property lined up. We're moving today, and we're moving Bethany Church down the road, has generously offered us a room, a space to operate from. Our mailing address is going to be in Rib Mountain. Our music team is going to practice in Cronenwetter. And we're going to store everything that we're not using in Mozanie. So we're spreading out. And we're believing that as we take a step into, and what I said in the newsletter was a step into fluidity. A step off of solid ground, literally solid ground, into something more fluid, that we're going to see God do something that's going to be worth telling our kids about, that we're going to see a miracle. And I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what's going to happen. We're just faithful enough to do that. And I love being a part of a church that does have that kind of faith. If you were going to move a huge rock, what might come in handy is a lever. Simple machines are amazing. In fact, one of my favorite simple machines is this bad boy right here. Now, Archimedes, a couple hundred years before Christ, talked about levers. He was a mathematician, and he had this saying where he said, if you give me a place to stand and you give me a lever long enough, I can move the world. Because he had done the math, and he figured out that a little bit of power becomes multiplied when you have a simple tool like a lever. If I took this tool, and if I only had these two parts, if I only had the blades, for those of you listening online, I'm holding what the experts at Ace Hardware call a lopper. It's my favorite tool for trimming branches. If I just had these two blades and my own strength, and I approached a branch, I mean, just imagine just pressing the blades against a branch. However, attach them to the end of a couple of levers, and I've done, like, branches you wouldn't believe with this thing. Like, branches I shouldn't have done. What helps even more with this particular model, I can get even more leverage, and I can reach higher. Sometimes, if you catch me at the right time out in my yard, if I can't reach a branch, now, safety experts, I apologize. If I can't reach a branch, sometimes I will jump in the air with this in my hands in order to get the branch, because I just don't want to go through the work of setting up a ladder. Anyway, levers, simple machines that take a little bit of power and multiply it. That's what we're talking about when we talk about spiritual gifts. We're talking about you putting in a little bit of effort according to your gifts and according to faith in God, and the little bit of effort you put in becomes multiplied by God. His power is seen through the work that you do. Things that you cannot do on your own, when we come together as the body of Christ, when we come together with faith in God, when we come together and seek out what would your will be, how can I walk faithfully and how can I operate within the gifts you've given me, we see God's power at work among us. Like that lever. Every little bit of effort that you put in according to your giftedness in the context of the church and according to faith and along the lines of His will, you're going to see multiplied power in Him. We have a series that we're going through right now where we're talking about some of those specific spiritual gifts, and we're going to highlight what we call the service gifts. Last Sunday was the foundation. Remember what Archimedes said, give me a place to stand and a lever long enough and I can move the earth. The foundation was the place to stand. Now we're talking about serving gifts. And we're not going to cover all of these this week. We're just going to cover a handful of them. And we're going to start with the ones that are not part of our online inventory that we borrow from spiritualgiftstest.com. There are some spiritual gifts that we can see evidence of in Scripture, and we're going to look at that, and are not included on that list, because every online inventory is imperfect, every list is imperfect. When we see lists of gifts in Scripture, they're not the same. So what that implies to us is there's no comprehensive, perfect list to go by. So we're taking the best clues that we have and trying to help you see and understand, well, where might I be gifted? Where might I put effort and then see that effort multiplied? By the way, when I talk about effort multiplied, what's the task that's being accomplished? We've talked about it in other parts of this series, and it continues to be the task that we see in Scripture that John, who is one of the closest followers of Jesus, explains is the Son of Man came to destroy the devil and his works. We're in the business of destroying the devil and his works. We are in the business of seeing God's kingdom, his authority come, his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. So however that looks in a certain case, that's what's going to happen. And you can recognize your spiritual gifts at work because they display the love and the light of Christ in the world, which drives away the darkness. We sang about that this morning too. You make the darkness tremble. So when you put a little bit of effort in according to the gifts God has given you, people are going to see Christ in you, Christ in us. Because the gifts aren't about, I use this and then I'm a lone ranger storming the gates of hell with a squirt gun. No, we're all grabbing a squirt gun. Together we are the body of Christ. Together, we are given gifts, special abilities by God that are designed for us to work together. And as we work together and as we put in a little effort, we see God do amazing things and people see Christ in us. So let's talk about some of these individual gifts. The three that don't appear in spiritualgiftstest.com are hospitality, craftsmanship, and arts that we have here on the far left. Let's talk about hospitality for a moment. Where do we see evidence that hospitality can be a spiritual gift? Well, one of the places is in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 9. Peter tells people in the church, be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So he talks about hospitality and he talks about giftedness kind of right together. And some of the evidence that we have about the gift of hospitality is anecdotal evidence. We see it at work. We see it happen. Have you ever been to somebody's home where you have felt loved? Just being there and being present with them. You have felt welcomed. You have felt like you're no imposition, you're no intrusion at all, like you belong here. My parents, I believe, have the gift of hospitality. And so one of my favorite things to do this time of year is in the afternoon after having a busy Sunday morning, and often I'll have meetings after church on Sunday, in the afternoon they will have DVR'd the football game. And I'll just go there and we'll skip the commercials and the penalties. Ugh, just come on with the penalties. Whatever. We'll skip whatever we want to skip. But just being there, and they don't have to make a big banquet or anything. It's just, it's them. They help people feel welcome. And not just me. They have people who come from other countries that they welcome into their home and just make it a hospitable place. So hospitality is a gift you may use where you can find out if you have it, and we need to help each other. If somebody says to you, I just love coming over to your house. Or in this setting, we need people with the gift of hospitality who are on our welcoming team. And if you feel particularly welcomed by someone, if they make you feel really at home, tell them that. Because that could help them understand a giftedness that they have that they might not even know, because it just comes naturally to them. But let them know, you have done such a good job helping me feel welcome. Thank you. You have been so hospitable. Another of the gifts is craftsmanship. When we look in the book of Exodus, God gives instructions to these people who are taken out of slavery, and they become a portable church. They become a portable nation. They're walking around and carrying a tent, and God has given them very specific instructions on this tent. The fancy word for it is the tabernacle. He gives them specific instructions. This tabernacle, this tent, is going to be where I am in your midst. This is going to be the center of worship for you. So he gives them specific instructions on how to build this. He gives them specific instructions on how to build the Ark of the Covenant, the box that you're going to carry around. He gives them all these instructions, and he gives the assignment to specific people, which is what we see in Exodus chapter 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts." That sounds like a spiritual gift of craftsmanship, doesn't it? If God has his Spirit come upon you and gives you a special gift, that's a spiritual gift. And we're taught by Jesus that through Christ, our sins are forgiven. And when we put our faith and our trust in him, when we stop saying, you know, I think I've been good enough. I think I'm good enough for God. Or I could never be good enough. If we stop saying those things and start saying, God loves me, and he demonstrated his love in that while I was still sinning, he sent his son to die as a penalty for my sins. And now he's giving me the power to live according to his will. When we make that transition from my will be done to thy will be done through Jesus Christ, he fills us with his Holy Spirit and he gives us gifts like we see here in the book of Exodus. He is a master, in verse 4, he is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He is a master at every craft. And I've personally appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant. Moreover, I've given special skill to all the gifted craftsmen so they can make all the things I have commanded you to make. God gives some people special skill in turning raw materials into things that are functional and things that are beautiful. If you have these kinds of skills, acknowledge that they come from God and then use them for his glory. Heidi Miller, who talks each morning here, the director of our family ministries, she's an example of this for me. She has a business in Mozanie called Created Anew, a reference to Ephesians in downtown, where she creates amazing crafts and she teaches other people how to do the same thing. If you've ever done a service project with Russ Wiegand, you might get the sense that maybe he's also gifted in this way. His brain can put together how things should go, and he gives such care to it. It's amazing. And then if you see either Heidi or Russ at work and see their spouses, Heidi's husband Clint, Russ's wife Marcy, they seem to also be so skilled. It's a joy to see the things that they can accomplish together. So that's hospitality, craftsmanship. Arts is another category. Now, sometimes craftsmanship is arts. Sometimes arts is more about poetry. It's about visual art. It's about music. It's about communicating God's beauty in a creative way. In 1 Chronicles 16, starting in verse 41, we see David also appointed, and I love this, amen, and the masters of the universe. No, he also appointed, it's probably pronounced like Haman or something, but I grew up on He-Man. Appointed He-Man, Jeduthun, and the others chosen by name to give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. They use their trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments to accompany their songs of praise to God, and the sons of Jeduthun were appointed as gatekeepers. We see God is appointing people, and he's empowering them in special ways, and one of those ways is through music. This is a tough one sometimes because while a lot of people enjoy artistic expression, enjoyment doesn't necessarily equate to giftedness. A spiritual gift in arts means that you can express God's story in ways that are compelling to other people and ultimately glorifying to Him, that people would see Christ in you as you use your art. So like all gifts, it's important to have confirmation from other people besides your mom that you are gifted in a certain area. You know, you've seen American Idol, the early episodes when people are coming on and they're really believing that they've got this amazing voice because their mom always said so. I can't watch those episodes. It's too uncomfortable for me. So it's helpful to have other trusted people who are being honest with you who will say, yeah, you are doing amazing things here. You're putting in what seems effortless, and the product is incredible. You're seeing something in your mind, and you're turning it into something that expresses the love of Christ in a way that I can't even imagine being able to do that. That's different from, well, I really enjoy singing, or I really enjoy drawing, or I really enjoy whatever it happens to be. There is a giftedness. Some of you have seen Rachel Allen's giftedness. We had a video a few weeks ago where you could see the process of her drawing out what came to mind as she listened to a particular psalm, and that was an expression of her leaning on a gift. So those are the three that don't appear in that inventory that you might, first of all, self-identify and then have someone confirm that. People have always told me, and then whatever that happens to be. If we move on to administration and leadership, these are two gifts where there's some overlap. My first job after college was I had a full-time job with the Boy Scouts of America. And I had never been a Boy Scout. I had a lot to learn. How did you get a full-time job with the Boy Scouts of America? It's a story for another another time. But that was what I did, full-time. I was helping parents who were volunteering to understand how to lead a Boy Scout unit well. And one of the things that became clear to me, it was critical, like in a Cub Scout pack with the younger kids, there were two critical leadership positions. One of them was the Cub Master, and the other was the committee chair. Anybody in here involved in scouting, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, hands in the... There's one. No, seriously. Well, there's like a maybe. Well, they have these things that they call units. It's a pack, and the kids get together. But they have leaders, key leaders. The Cub Master is the one who gets in front of all the kids and the parents during the meeting and gets them excited about, hey, we're going to go to camp this summer. And at camp, there's going to be archery, and there's going to be riflery, and there's going to be games, and we're going to build this. And it just gets them all excited. And in order to do that, we've got to sell $250,000 worth of popcorn. And then we'll be able to go to camp, and we'll march in a parade, and they paint this picture of all the stuff we're going to do and what has to happen to get there. That's the Cub Master, just a leader who's excited to get other people excited. The committee chair is a person sitting off to the side going, okay, so we're going to need your family to sell this much popcorn. We have this many families, so each of you has to sell this much popcorn. This is where it's going to be delivered. I need four people who are going to help divide it into the whose order is which, And then and they're figuring out all the logistics. We need somebody to contact the camp to figure out what week of camp we're going to be there. We need to figure out who's going to provide transportation. And all these things need to happen. So the Cub Master's getting people excited, and the committee chair is making sure that what they're excited about actually happens. Two key aspects of leadership. One of them, and when we talk in terms of spiritual gifts, I think God has gifted the church in this way, where there are some people who are leaders and there are some people who are administrators. Both of them, there are some overlap, both of them are necessary. Both of them are necessary. So what's the difference? And where do we see them in Scripture? There is some overlap, and even in our English translations of the Bible, there's a Greek word that is sometimes translated in some translations as leadership, and in other translations, it's administration. If we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and we're looking in the New American Standard Bible, which tends to be a more word-for-word, so when I read it out loud, it sounds a little more clumsy, a little more wooden. What it is, though, is it's more accurate word-for-word translation. So sometimes it's harder to understand what the idea is behind it, which is why we use the New Living Translation for an idea-to-idea translation. That's what's going on there. So if we look at 1 Corinthians 12, 28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. So here we see the word administrations. It's from the Greek word kubernesis, which literally means to govern. To govern. It's sometimes used in nautical settings. It's the captain who's steering things. And then we see another word. The Greek word proistomai, used in Romans 12:8. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, proistomai, take the responsibility seriously. So we see a different word here used, both of these words used by Paul. So he's saying these are maybe two different gifts. This word for leadership is a word that is that Paul uses when he writes to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, he uses it to describe how a father is to lead his household. It is a word that literally means to go before, to go in front of. So it has some implications for shepherding. Someone who's moving in a certain direction and saying to everybody else, come on, let's go. So there's the moving ahead, come on, let's go person. And then there's the person who's setting things in place to make sure things are steering correctly. There's leaders, there are administrators. That's as far as we're going to get in the specific gifts this morning. I want to talk about what that looks like in real life. What does it look like in our community, in our setting today? All of our small groups, every term that we have two terms of small groups each year, and every term they're tasked with planning a service project. Part of what we want to do as a church is do more than just gather for strength. We want to scatter for light. We want to be fruitful. We want to beautify the world around us. We want to nurture and nourish the world around us. We want to plant seeds in the world around us. That means going out. So we have this mechanism in our small groups, these service projects. And we're doing things a little bit differently this year. We want to try to maximize the power. And nothing says maximum power like a worksheet. So So we got a worksheet. Oh, it's really hard to see here. I know that's not anybody's fault but the projector. We've got a service project worksheet which breaks things down into steps. And then each step, so like step one, find and fund possible projects. Well, what gifts might be used there? We'll talk about the gift of mercy in the future. This is someone who just feels along with someone else, who cares so much for other people that they'll feel that hurt. That's why for Backyard Missions, we have a team that we call an ouch team. That's full of people who feel the hurt and who are looking for ways to ease that. Giving is a gift that we'll talk about, but some people are just really good at giving. So if we say, well, it's going to cost us $150 to get the equipment that we need for this, if you have someone in your group who has a gift of giving, they might be overjoyed to give that $150. They might be like, sign me up. That's the part I want to play. Apostleship, that's somebody who's saying, go out. Discernment, that's somebody who can take a bunch of ideas and kind of sort through which ones are clever ideas that we have and which ones are actually from God. So that's just an example. Step one, here are some different ways people can use their giftedness. So our group took a list of possible service projects that was developed by Amy Rustin, the lead of our Ouch team from Backyard Missions. She stays in touch with some of the households that we served and says, is there anything else that we can do? Because Backyard Missions isn't just about getting a project done. It's about relationships. It's about love. It's about being a light for Christ. And that's a continuous thing. So she has a list of potential projects, and our group took a look at that list, and one of them happened to be the elderly ladies who live across the street from me. Now, I could take what she had on that list, and I could just buckle down and go do all those projects over there. However, I don't think that's what God has in mind for the church. I think there are people in this church who he has gifted in a way that a little bit of effort is going to produce a lot of power in expressing his love to people. And if I just go do it, I'm kind of robbing them of that opportunity. So for instance, I was there on Tuesday or Wednesday, mowing their lawn. And I said to one of the ladies, my friends Mary and Rayanne are going to get in touch with you because they want to find out exactly what projects need to be done here, how we can best bless you. And they're going to do a better job organizing that than I am. Because I'll ask, but I won't remember some stuff, and I won't ask certain questions, and I'll bring the information back to the group, and they'll say, well, what about this? And I'll go, I don't know. I just think we should do this. We should just love them. Come on, let's go. I'll lead. We really needed someone who's an administrator to go in and ask the right questions. So they're doing that. And then they'll help organize teams. And we're going to have somebody before we start the project who's going to share a message from Scripture, just a short devotional. And then we'll have someone pray to start it off. And it doesn't have to be me. We're sharing the responsibility. We're giving everybody a chance to work within their giftedness in order to see God multiply the results. Everybody putting in a little bit of effort, seeing power, the power of God at work. And then we'll share a meal together, so people with the gift of hospitality are going to be able to participate. We've got someone who's gifted in art in our group who is going to create a card for these two ladies that we can all sign the card and it can be an encouragement to them. So much better than me just kind of in a grumbling way doing this all on my own. I will be there with my loppers. Steve will be there with a sawzall, and we are going to trim a tree oh yeah, I am so excited to trim this tree. I go over there to mow the lawn, and I look at this tree, and it's like I just start drooling, like, oh, we're going to cut all these dead branches off, and we're just going to drag them across the street, put them in a fire pit. It's going to be awesome. So this is what we're doing. This is an example of what can the church do. Well, we can care for the world. Jesus looked around at people around him, and he had compassion on them. He was brokenhearted for the hurting people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were wandering without a leader. And he was sad. We are to be a church that has compassion on people and then that uses our giftedness along with other people. As Archimedes said, give me a place to stand and a lever long enough and I will move the world. This is what Jesus said. Matthew 17, 20. He said, you don't have enough faith. Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Do we have the faith to believe that a little act that we do could be multiplied by God? Do we believe that nothing is impossible with Him? That's what I want us to learn. I want us to see a little act of faith become something where His power is displayed, where we start setting up Ebenezers, where we look at something and can't help but tell people about it, where something happens with our searching for a piece of land or a building or some place to call home, a foundation from which to change the world, where something happens in looking at that foundation, where the unbelieving people who are helping us with real estate, who are helping us with building, won't be able to help but say, you won't believe what happened today. That people who don't know the power of God, who don't put their faith in Jesus yet, will become people who tell His story. That's what I want to see happen as we take little steps of faith, as we operate in His giftedness for His glory by His power in us. Let's pray. God, You are good, and Your faithful love endures forever. I thank You so much for the reminder of that this morning, that You've given us Your word, that You've given us a history to look at and to say, look what God did then. Why would we doubt what He can do now? I pray that each of us would trust You more today. I pray that each of us would understand better how You have wired us, how You have gifted us. I pray that we would be a people who talk in the vocabulary of giftedness, where we tell each other, wow, I really see the love of Christ in you when you do this. And God, that we would see Your power, Your word, Your love spread in this generation and to the next. In Jesus' name, amen.